separated because I believe a man is supposed to take care of his woman. I don't care how much money your woman make. A man is supposed to have his mind set on taking care of his woman.
Talk. I mean, this, you know, this may be a bit crude, but I mean, I don't know no other way to say it. I want to talk about booty calls. Narcissists are basically grown people or toddler mentality, toddler psychology in grown people's bodies. You're basically dealing with a psychological and emotional toddler in a grown person's body. And little kids know nothing but what? Self-preservation. I remember when I was a little kid, I guess I was maybe 4 years old, 4 or 5 at the most. And I got angry with my mother because she didn't give me something. I wanted something and she said no. So I said to my mother, I'm leaving here. I'm running away from home. I was serious as I could be too. I remember this. I'm 55 years old. That means this had to be 50 years ago. I'm leaving here. I'm running away from home. And I guess the thing that made me remember it was my mama said, okay. Okay. And she brought me my little suitcase. I had a little suitcase. She brought me my little suitcase and I put my little soldiers in my cap guns in there. You know, it wasn't politically incorrect to have cap guns at that time. I had put all my little stuff in there. And I left out the house and I got a half a block away and I stood on the corner and I was looking in every direction. I remember this. And while I was out there, I had the thought, I said, now, where am I gonna sleep tonight? It's a little cold out here. And I'm looking around, ooh, it's dark out here, I'm scared. Now, of course, my mom was looking at me the whole while. And then finally, I turned around and I went back home with my hand, you know, my head down. Because when I got out there, see, I was using that moment as a child to manipulate, I'm going to leave you, to manipulate my mother into doing what I wanted her to do. But once I got out there, I had to think about the real consequences of my choices. And so you say, why does this person leave me and keep coming back? It's that when they get out there, they're carried away with the momentum of whatever they're going through. But once they get out there, they realize that they have just separated themselves from their source. Okay. So now their fear, okay, once they get out there, and they realize that they've used the tactic to control you that they're really most afraid of. And so once they get out there, listen to what Christine says. She says their fear of abandonment by the other person causes the narcissist to overlook any embarrassment and they find their way back. So they get out there and they say, okay, now, I can't stay too long because if I stay too long, they'll get used to this. And if they get used to this, I won't have my supply. And so now I have to find my way back into their good graces again. Okay, and then finally, number 4, Christine says they return and they promise. Okay, let's go through the cycle again. The narcissist feels shame of some kind. You don't know what's going on. You don't know where this comes from. You probably never will know where it came from. Number 2, the narcissist avoids and leaves. Thank you, Zanini. Thank you. The narcissist avoids and leaves. The narcissist himself or herself fears the abandonment. While they're out there, they begin to fear the idea that, you know, I'm not going to be able to get what I need. So this fear overrides whatever embarrassment or shame they may have felt. And they find a way to press their way back into your life especially if they know that you're going to let them in. This is why it's always timed. They know just about how long they can stay out there and make their way back without any problem. And then number four, they return and they promise. Now, let me read what she says. When the narcissist returns, there is a grand entrance of sorts. It usually begins with, I hope you're sorry for what you did or what you said. Now, mind you, what you said or what you did was a reaction or response to what they initially did or what they initiated. The focus of the conversation is not about the narcissist's behavior, fears, or insecurities. Rather, it is redirected to focus on the other person's behavior. So after soliciting an apology from the person they offended, you, the narcissist will half-heartedly express a minor amount of regret and will make some grand promise for the future. I'll never do it again. I promise you, we're going to have the best life ever. You know, stick with me, baby. We're going to the top. And so they return and they promise. They return and they promise. Now, some of you that are watching me now have gone through this cycle with the same person for years. Some of you, decade or more. The same thing. They go through some kind of stuff internally. They begin to avoid you. They leave you. They manipulate your fear of being abandoned while, you know, they feel their own fear of abandonment. So they return and they promise. And they've learned that all it takes to get back into your good graces is a good promise. Thank you, Redeemed 1352. Thank you. And so you keep falling for it. In the meantime, you're getting older. You're wasting your life with a person that refuses to change. Save the noodles. I like that. Thank you. Thank you. With a person that refuses to change, a person that doesn't probably have the capacity to change apart from divine intervention. And you're caught up in the same cycle, going around the same thing over and over and over again. Think about it. When you started with this person, you all were young people, maybe fresh out of college. Now you have children, maybe even have grandchildren, and you're emotionally stuck in the same place, going through the same cycle, going through the same abuse, listening to the same old warmed over promises. Somebody said, but you changed, right? I don't know if that's a question to me. Yeah, I changed, but I was never a narcissist. If you're in this position, I want to pray for you tonight. I promise you. Now, I teach this stuff, and write down Proverbs 25:14. It says, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. And that's the promises of a narcissist. He says, whoso boasteth himself of a gift, something they're not really going to deliver, is like clouds and wind without rain. Look what Proverbs 13:12 says. Hope deferred. You create this hope in me that something's going to change, that you're going to deliver on this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. If I keep on promising you and never deliver, I am making your heart sick. And sometimes people are sickening your soul intentionally, because the more I promise you and the more you hope for it and the more you wish for it and I never deliver on it, you know what's happening? The soul tie is being strengthened between you and the abuser. This is why it's so hard to pull away from toxic people and narcissists. It's because there's an intentional soul tie being created between you and them, and you don't know it. Your soul is sick. Your soul is being poisoned. The longer you stay in this, and I asked the question today at church, well, I made the statement. Was it a statement? Well, I'll present it as a statement. At some point, you have to choose your pain. At some point, you have to choose your pain. When you're caught up in the middle of a toxic relationship and you come into a place of wisdom, thank you so much, where you understand better, at some point, you got to choose your pain. You got to look at this thing. You got to say, okay, it's going to hurt me to leave. It's going to hurt me to cut this off because the soul tie is real. Painful. Ain't no joke. Ain't no joke. It's painful to cut a soul tie. It hurts to cut a soul tie. Promise you it does. But watch this. The alternative is to keep on avoiding the pain of leaving and stick with the pain of losing your life every day to something or to somebody. You're going to lose your whole life to somebody who never even deserved an introduction to you. Would you rather the lifelong pain of wasted potential and wasted destiny and a wasted future? Or would you rather the short-term pain of disconnection? Go through the withdrawals, go through whatever you got to deal with. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It ain't gonna last, but you got to choose your pain. You got to choose your pain. You keep on falling for this because somewhere in the back of your mind, you've been conditioned to believe, society has made you to believe, it's better to have a piece of a man than to have none at all. It's not true, babe. I'd rather stick. I know he puts his hands on me. I know he curses me out. I know he's emptied my self-esteem. I know he shattered my self-identity, but I love him. Thin line between love and insanity sometimes. You got to ask yourself, you got to choose your pain. Would you rather keep on enduring the pain of watching your life just year after year, decade after decade, flush down the toilet? Or would you rather the short-term pain of making a decision to choose you for a change? And see, when you have somebody that walks out of your life habitually, that's an habitual abandoner, I think you have an edge because they make the call. You have to just make them live with it. So next time you walk out of here, I don't even have to try to figure this out. The next time you walk out and you say it's over, I'm going to make you live up to that. I'm going to go through whatever kind of hell I got to go through to get over this, but I'm getting over this because God did not design me to live like this. And this is not what a relationship is supposed to look like. This is certainly not what a marriage is. And sometimes that means you're going to have to surround yourself with some stronger others. Again, as I was saying in church today, there's some things that you come through that you don't have enough strength to get through on your own. And you have to surround yourself with the people that have the strength and will lend you their strength to help pull you out of some stuff that you've gotten yourself in. And when you're dealing with something as demonic as a toxic relationship or a narcissist, you need to surround. It's nice to have old homegirl that y'all go to the club and y'all, you know, y'all bouncing on the floor. That's nice. Y'all go have a good time. That's nice. You have friends to do that with. Then you have friends, as I was saying, you can talk business with. Y'all can talk about the NASDAQ. Y'all can talk about money. But babe, when you in spiritual warfare and you got literal devils coming for your life, babe, you're going to have to find some people that's in tune to God. Now, what that looks like, I don't know. But you're going to have to find somebody that's in tune to God and somebody that can get a prayer through and help you to pull your way out of. Because this stuff is spiritual, y'all. This stuff is spiritual. This is deeper than just psychological. This stuff is spiritual. And there are too many of you all that are losing your lives. You're giving all of your youth to people who keep bouncing in and out of your life. Bouncing in and out of your life. Just in and out of your life. And I believe with all of my heart that it's just time for you to be free from it. And so I want to pray for you tonight. I know some of you are not accustomed to prayer. Just sit there and listen. You ain't got to participate. Just sit there and listen. But I believe in prayer. And I'll tell you why. When God, I think somebody was asking me the question, did you change? Yes, I did change. I was never a narcissist, though. Never. But when God changed my life, I had all kinds of soul tie relationships that I thought I was in control. I thought I was the man. The world told me, you the man, you in control, you running this thing. But the reality was when I saw better and I wanted to live better, I realized that I was as hung up as they were. I realized that they had as much control over me as I had over them. And the only thing that broke that spirit off of my life was an encounter with God. Now, I'd been raised up in the preacher's house. I knew all about religion. Religion did absolutely nothing for me, honestly. Religion did absolutely nothing for me. I'm not a religious man. And I know that sounds weird to hear somebody that has as many religious titles as I may have, but I'm not a religious man. I don't really believe in religion. I believe that a person has to have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and a real spiritual grounding. You have to know God, and religion doesn't always provide that. Religion, back to my point, it was God. It was God. It was an encounter with God that shifted my life and brought me from a place of bondage into a place of liberty. And I was a young man, you know, I was a young man. I was in my 20s, and God set me free, man. And for the first time in my young life, I was actually living what I was preaching. But God did it. And I believe in the power of God. I believe that the power of God tonight is present here. And I believe that God had me to fire this thing up tonight, to really speak a word of deliverance for many of you. You may not ever step foot in anybody's church, but I promise you tonight you're going to have an encounter with God. And if I can get you to just say yes to God tonight and surrender, realize that you can do nothing by your own power, you will see God supernaturally do for you what you could have never done for yourself. So now, Father, I thank you as I have spoken to your people. God, I thank you that you've taken this platform tonight and you've made this a sanctuary. You've made this an altar where your people can meet you. God, some of them feel like they're not worthy, but God, make them, surround them with your loving presence and make them to know that you love them. And now, Father, every person whose heart is broken, every person who finds him or herself caught up in this web of deceit, I thank you, Father, for liberation tonight. I thank you for the freedom of the Holy Spirit tonight. I command every stronghold that has impacted their minds, all of the games and all of the lies, I dismantle them in the name of Jesus. And I command freedom to rest upon your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo, I feel God right now, y'all. This feel like a church service to me. I don't know what it is for you, but this feel like a church service to me. Now, let me say this, and I got to get off of here. Lisa and I are going somewhere. I want you to know, those of you in London, England, Lisa and I are on our way March 27th and 28th If you've not registered for it, I want you to go to rscblakes.com and register for Queenology London. We're going to be there on a Friday night. We're going to have dinner on that Friday night. We're going to have Q&A. It's going to be networking. And then Saturday morning, we're going to have about 4 to 5 hours where we're going intensively going through the five tenets of Queenology. I'm excited about coming to London, England. Also, for those of you that have need of counseling, some of you reach out to me, you say, Pastor, I need counseling. Can you recommend someone? Well, there's this company, there's this counseling firm, I guess you would call it, called BetterHelp that Lisa and I have partnered with. And I'll put the link in the description for those of you that need counseling of any kind, professional counselors. And if you choose to have a faith-based counselor, that is an option as well. But that's just an addition to what we do. Those of you that need that level, I can't bring you there because I'm not a counselor. And I would never do like a lot of people, pretend to be. I am not. And there's some of you who really need someone who is therapeutic and can really walk you through certain processes. So I would love for you to just, you know, hit the link in the description and just see what they offer, because it'll be a blessing to you. I love you all. I thank God for you. I want you to pray for me. Don't forget to pick up my books at rcblakes.com or go to Amazon. You can pick them up there. So much to talk about. But I love you. I look forward to talking to you some more this week. And I'll see you at the top. I love y'all. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.